You are invited to join us this Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church to worship God and study His Word. At 9:30, Pastor Bob Enyart's verse-by-verse Bible study will help you to gain new understanding of God's Word. The Bible study is followed by a time of fellowship at 10:30, then join our worship team in praise and worship of our Creator God at 10:50, followed by Pastor Enyart's sermon. Denver Bible Church meets at Two Roads School at the corner of Oak and 72nd Streets in Arvada. Join us this Sunday at Denver Bible Church, and bring your Bible.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Romney and Obama have taken the day off because of the storm. Tragedy back east as they're digging out here in Colorado. We've had the opportunity last week to reenact a debate between Will Duffy and a local pastor who was defending one of Mitt Romney's positions that you kill the baby of a rapist. And that was quite a debate. You might want to go back and listen to that from last week if you missed it. Well, today we have Will Duffy in studio. Will, thanks for joining me.
Hey, great to be here. We're going to talk about sports. I can't wait.
Sports? No.
Oh, well, wait a minute. I guess politics has become a sport, sadly.
Right. That's right. Over the last year, I've been following Will's online debates with pastors and Christians and Sunday school teachers. And Will, I asked you to bring some of the material into the studio so we can hear it from you directly.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'd like to start out with a story actually about Mitt Romney from 2008. So in 2008, I was at a Mitt Romney event. He was running for president back then as well.
For the nomination, right?
And I was there to let people know about his extremely aggressive pro-abortion record.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a fun story. A lady walked up toward me, and I told her that Romney was a pro-abort, and I handed her some information. And she said that she thought he was pro-life, and that's why she was at the event. But I corrected her. I gave her the facts. And she said that there was no point in her being there then, and she turned around, got in her car, and left.
That was perfect.
So that's how easy it should be.
It should be, right? Yeah, because when somebody hears, oh, he supports killing Jews, he supports lynching blacks, he's a socialist, he's a racist, well then, okay, thanks for telling me, I don't support him.
Yeah, it's a twist on the famous phrase would be this: you can lead a man to the truth, but you can't make him think. So that's where we're at.
Very good.
So yeah, let's dive right in.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife said a while back that politics is now nothing more than a spectator sport.
Wow.
Which is exactly true. There's nothing wrong with being a diehard Broncos fan and supporting the Broncos no matter who the players are, what the players believe.
Right.
But in politics, people support their team, which is the GOP, right, no matter who the players are and no matter what they stand for.
Wow.
That's scary.
Wow. Smart wife.
Yeah, definitely. So I let people know online that while most people are planning on voting once in November, mm-hmm, I'm going to vote twice.
Twice?
Twice.
How's that?
So everyone tells me that since I'm not voting for Romney, I'm actually voting for Obama. So there's vote number one.
Okay.
And so the opposite must also be true. Since I'm not voting for Obama, I must be voting for Romney. There's vote number two. One election, two votes.
Right. But wait a minute. That describes me too, but I'm also going to vote for Tom Hoefling.
So three votes.
I'm voting three times.
You got me beat. Another thing I said is that if a third party rises up in this country, it should be called the We Ought to Obey God Rather Than Men Party.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be a great name for a third party?
That's right out of the Bible.
Yeah, Acts 5.
Mm-hmm.
So this next thing I wrote is, how many people would have told William Wilberforce that they were sick and tired of him talking about slavery?
Thousands.
And here's the deal. The reason I said this is because that's what people were telling me on the issue of abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wilberforce is the hero, that the Christian leader that fought to end slavery in Britain, and his mentor was the captain of the slave trade ship that wrote Amazing Grace.
Right.
And that movie, Amazing Grace, is about William Wilberforce. Great.
And it's funny because no one volunteered that they would have done that with him.
Mm.
But of course they would.
Right, they would have, just like they did here in this country. against William Lloyd Garrison and others.
Right. So the next thing here is interesting, and this is about kind of Mormonism. Mm-hmm. And so Mormonism has always been a cult.
Yeah.
And of course, the only thing that could ever change that in this country is the GOP nominating a Mormon as the Republican nominee.
Wow.
So now Christians in mass claim that Mormons are Christians too.
Right.
Now, I wrote this in, I think, September, which was before the whole fiasco with Billy Graham. You familiar?
Well, tell me, what did Billy Graham do?
So Billy Graham...
Billy Graham, by the way, has been endorsing and supporting child killers and socialists, and it's just a great tragedy what has become of Billy Graham. And his profile is on ProLifeProfiles.com, and he explicitly says in his own writing, in his own books, that we should support killing of babies who are handicapped and if their fathers are criminals and so on.
Yeah, so Billy Graham removed the section on his website about Mormonism being a cult just until the election. Mm. So anyway, here's the irony in this whole thing. Mm. So Christians are now claiming that Mormons are Christians just because of Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
But Romney separates himself from Christianity.
Right.
How's that?
It's the opposite of what it should be.
So here we have Christians setting aside G-O-D for the G-O-P.
Wow.
Claiming that Mormons are just like any other Christian, while Mormons believe nothing of the sort.
Wow.
So in 2012, this year, Romney gave the commencement address at Liberty University, which is the largest Christian university in the country. And Liberty U teaches that Mormonism is a cult. And so Romney, being politically savvy, said this in his speech to the audience, which was made up of Christians of all denominations. Hmm. He said, quote, "People of different faiths, like yours and mine, sometimes wonder where we can meet in common purpose when there are so many differences in creed and theology." He separated himself from his audience of Christians.
Mm-hmm. Different faiths.
Right. So the next thing I wrote, I said, "I'm pretty down today and felt the need to modify the famous quote often attributed to Edmund Burke to make it more fitting for the times." Mm. And Edmund Burke's quote is, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing."
Right.
But unfortunately, that's not good enough anymore. So now it's the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to support that evil.
And that's exactly where we've come to.
That's how far we've come.
Right.
A lot of people obviously talk about, you know, you have two choices, you have to pick, you know, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. So I said, when given options A and A, a wise man often chooses B. So
that is funny.
What that means is, I said, yes, I'm talking about the November election. For all intents and purposes, there is no difference between the R and D in
right.
this election.
So sometimes we'd say, like when Jesus was given a choice between A and B, he would choose C. But in fact, here we're given a choice between A and A.
Right.
Right.
This next one is a kind of a mock conversation. I do these sometimes that kind of describe how things go. And it says this: "Hey, Will, have you seen how bad Obama's record is?" Mm. And I say, "Yep." And then they say, "We need to get him out." So my response is, "Have you seen Romney's record?" And their response is something like this: "Well, his record doesn't matter. Just what he's now saying on the campaign trail, that's what we have to go on." Mm. So my response is, so why wouldn't we ignore Obama's record and go only on what he is saying on the campaign trail? He said everything is going to be great if we only give him 4 more years. Sounds like a double standard to me.
Wow. Yeah, and by the way, on the campaign trail, he's for abortion for health reasons. He doesn't want to change the law on abortion. So he's basically running pro-abortion ads, like in Virginia.
Right, and we'll get into that a little more.
All right.
So something I said that was interesting is that all my friends are asking me to become a hypocrite. Mm. What nice friends, huh? So I have principles which do not allow me to vote for Obama. Mm. I'm going to put the foot down. But they support me in that. They love that. Mm. When I tell them the reasons I'm not voting for Obama, they just love
right,
it.
Right.
But then they ask me to violate the exact same principles to vote for Romney. They're asking me to become a hypocrite. Mm. I won't do it.
Wow.
I ran a poll online, which is kind of fun. Sometimes you can run polls. And I said, who are you going to vote for in November? And there was only three choices. The first choice was Barack Romney. Second one was Mitt Obama.
Yeah.
And the third one was neither.
Right.
Everybody voted for neither.
That's funny.
How is that any different than
right,
what we're faced
right.
with right
that
now?
That is funny.
So this next title of this post is "I'm against Obama more than you."
Mm.
So that's interesting. So mm-hmm. I talked about how the GOP strategy of compromising in order to win has not worked. So McCain was pretty liberal, and he was transparent to the fact that he was not a Christian, and he got slaughtered. He was slaughtered by Obama. Mm-hmm. You give McCain all the third-party votes, he still doesn't beat Obama in 2008. So if the GOP was smart, they would have realized that this compromise strategy was a bad strategy, but instead they thought that they didn't compromise enough. So they picked Romney, who's even further left than McCain, and a Mormon and a cult member.
Right.
So I guess the GOP is testing if mega compromise is the path to victory.
Right.
So if they win, have we really won?
No. If they win, then they know that Christianity is utterly irrelevant to American public life.
Right.
That's what they know.
Right.
So we have two parties that totally have that commitment.
Right.
Right.
So, of course, we don't win. We have to think big picture and long term here. Candidates that run as Christian, pro-life, anti-marriage do quite well. So what message do we want to send to the GOP? That we stand with their compromising strategy, or that we're more than willing to lose a battle in order to win the war?
Right. That's the kind of thinking that our Christian leaders are incapable of. It's as though we're at the Super Bowl. They can't constrain themselves.
Right.
It's a lust of the flesh. They have to be a kingmaker.
So I was listening to Glenn Beck one day. I happened to be driving when he was on. Mm-hmm. He's obviously a Mormon, and he's also a Republican cheerleader. Mm-hmm. And he asked Rand Paul for some assistance on what to tell people.
I seem to remember. I think I tuned into part of this.
Yeah, he wanted assistance on what to tell people who think voting for Romney will just get us more of what Obama has to offer. So I actually appreciate Glenn Beck seeking out help in that regard, because that's a tough challenge to rebut.
Yeah, right.
So Rand Paul's brilliant
answer.
Although
he is a Romney cheerleader now.
Right.
As we predicted he would be.
Of course.
Even when he was opposing Romney in the primaries.
Right. So Rand Paul's answer, Glenn Beck's looking for a little love here. Rand Paul's answer is, I think we'll be better off. I don't think that's an answer.
Right.
So there was a funny picture going around the internet. I'm not too familiar with the Mari Povich show.
Right.
But he does paternity tests, I guess, where people are trying to figure out whose child belongs to what dad and who's responsible, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And this picture is one of the funniest things I had ever seen. It said, in the case of Obamacare, Mitt Romney, you are the father. Which, of course, we know is true.
Yeah. It's like the ad, the graphic that you created. I think you created it. It said Obamacare, and it has Romney's face. It says, I built that.
Right, I built that.
That is a great one.
That's funny.
That is funny.
So Proverbs 16:8 says, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Mm. So sadly, every election cycle reminds us that Christians have abandoned God's word in this regard.
Mm-hmm. Because they want Romney for the economy. That's what the Lutherans said about Hitler. The economy in Germany was terrible. And so what if he's not great on the social issues? He'll be good on the economy.
Right. It's pretty sad.
Yeah.
So I said at one point that God does not call on us to only vote against Obama. The reason I'm bringing this up is people were on a kick for a while of, I'm not voting for Romney, I'm voting against Obama.
Yeah. Now by now that's worn off, and now they're for Romney.
Oh,
it's a pattern, right?
It's a pattern.
Right. Because wickedness, it takes time to warm up to wickedness and jump right in with both feet. So now they're Romney bots.
Of course.
Right.
So I made the point that God does not call on us to only vote against Obama. He calls on us to vote against any politician willing to kill innocent children. Mm. So in some elections, we are called to vote against both candidates.
Right.
Proverbs 6:17 says, God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. Mm. Yet Christians vote for the men whose hands shed innocent blood, which would include Mitt Romney. So that's interesting.
Right. So, wait, that verse applies to Mitt Romney also? God hates the hands that shed innocent blood.
Of course.
So that applies to Mitt Romney. He's not accepted. Does God have exceptions?
No.
He's not accepting Mitt Romney.
And it's interesting that that Christians defend doing something that God hates.
Right.
That's a tough one to win.
And when it comes to killing children. So if they'll compromise on obeying God at that level, then what level would they not compromise?
Right. So obviously there's the whole lesser of two evils debates that goes on ad nauseum every 4 years. Mm-hmm. So this is what I wrote one day. Obamacare is the lesser of two evil socialized health care mandates when compared to Romney care. So I guess that means I'm supposed to support Obamacare.
Okay, wait a minute now. Obamacare is the lesser of two evil socialized health care mandates. Why would you say Obamacare is the lesser?
Well, RomneyCare included $50 copay, tax-funded, elective abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy.
Wow.
Obamacare does not have that.
Wow.
So a few weeks ago, the first big debate was going to air, and everyone was so excited. Hmm. They're planning their debate parties. They can't wait to watch this debate.
We watched Lost in Space at our house.
Well,
I forced myself to read a summary of the debate the next day. Doug McBurney and I did a show on not watching the debates.
So I wrote this as I was contemplating whether or not I wanted to watch the debate. I said, trying to decide if I want to watch two liberals debate each other tonight. You know?
How to make friends and influence enemies.
So as I was thinking about it, I was like, you know, people would like to see Obama debate a pro-life Christian. So I wrote, if you want to watch Obama debate a pro-life Christian, you'll have to skip tonight's debate and just watch this debate instead. And I included a link to Alan Keyes debating Barack Obama for the Senate in Illinois.
Wow. Isn't that great?
That is a good debate. And Obama still says to this day, the most difficult person he's ever run against was Alan Keyes.
Wow.
I wonder why.
It wasn't John McCain?
No.
Wow.
Not even close. So the next comment I made was that all my friends are at the debate. Wish I could have been there too.
Mm.
And this stirred up a lot of interest. How did your friends get tickets to the debate? Because it was at DU, Denver
right,
University.
Right. And,
and so
there.
I explained to them, well, all my friends are there outside protesting these two pro-aborts and preaching the personhood of the unborn.
Yeah. And we had a booth in the debate alley. And it was really great. We talked to hundreds of students and a lot of media from around the world. It was
right.
Fun.
Wish I could have been there. So about a half an hour or so before the debate started, here's what I wrote. I was in the mood to watch a debate tonight between a conservative and a liberal. Just check the TV guide. Nothing like that on television tonight. Bummer.
That
so that's
funny.
Kind of funny.
Yeah.
And so obviously people seem to want to discount politicians' records.
Mm.
They just want to throw them out. It's interesting how every single Republican candidate all of a sudden changes their mind. We don't ever get a candidate that has this like long track record of the conservative values we're looking for. They all change their mind right before election time.
They become conservative during the primaries.
Right.
Then they're moderates during the general election and they govern as liberals.
Right.
I mean, every time. I've seen it my whole life.
So I was thinking about the phrase actions speak louder than words, and I realized records speak louder than words. Political records speak louder than words.
Wow.
We have to hold their feet to the
fire. Don't believe what they do. Believe what they say. Come on, Will.
Right. So the day after the debate, everybody said Romney won and, you know, this and that.
Yeah.
And so I wrote, it's interesting to see how conservatives have evolved over the years. Last night, conservatives all over the country were defending Romney's individually mandated socialized health care plan over Obama's. So we have conservatives defending one form of socialism over another. Who would have thought?
Right.
That's where we've evolved to.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah. Paul Ryan. His big claim to fame is he wants to save these government socialist programs. That's
right.
What a conservative today is. Conservatives would have been aghast at that thought half a century ago. And he's the conservative holding up the ticket.
So this is an interesting point I made. Liberals are always sizing up candidates against their worldview. Conservatives size up their candidates against the liberals. Does no one else see anything wrong with this?
Whoa. Okay. Now we're doing radio. Not everybody's reading this. I see it in front of me. Say that one more time. This is,
yeah, so this is
very powerful.
Yeah, this is interesting. Liberals, they're always sizing up their candidates against their worldview. So if they're going to pick a candidate, they pick a candidate based on what their worldview is.
Does he support child killing?
Right.
Does he support homos?
Right.
Is he a socialist?
Exactly.
Right.
They get that. Obama, there you go. Well, conservatives are always sizing up their candidates against the liberals.
Right.
You don't ever hear them making the case that this person has all these conservative values. They are just better than the liberal.
Right.
So the liberal is their standard.
Right.
So that is a problem, and that's going to get you to where we are today.
Yeah, and there's no bottom to that abyss. There's no bottom to that abyss. As long as the liberals could keep finding somebody more evil, as long as they keep moving the goalposts to the left towards socialism and godlessness, our ignorant Christian friends will keep supporting the godless Republican socialist child killer.
Right.
They'll keep doing it.
Course.
Right into the gates of hell. Full steam ahead.
So after the second debate, it was frustrating to me that there's so much debate going on about the economy. So I was moved to write, "Have you ever wondered what it would have been like to live in Nazi Germany, where Jews were slaughtered daily and people chose to debate the economy?" And I said, "Wonder no longer."
Whoa.
We are living in it.
Whoa. Will. Wow.
So the Bible often uses pagans as an example to believers as to how they should act. Hmm. Now that should turn a light bulb on. When God is going to use a pagan
as an example of, like, for example, be consistent. One example, but go ahead.
Or even the Good Samaritan.
Mm,
the
right.
Parable of the Good Samaritan. Mm. Christians could learn a lesson from the Democrats. Democrats don't really seem to compromise. They push to further and further entrench their worldview into society. They don't look across the aisle at the Republican in order to determine who they will run. They simply don't care because they would rather lose than compromise, because they realize that compromise is the same as losing.
Wow.
As soon as you've compromised, you've already lost.
Well, yeah. Would they ever support a candidate who's partly pro-life?
Oh, not, the Democrats? Not in a million years.
How about a Supreme Court justice who's partly pro-life?
No way.
Just a little bit.
That would be their first litmus test.
Right, absolutely. And so, they don't compromise on their core issues. Christian political folks only compromise. That's all they do.
That's all they do.
They do not stand on God's word, on principle, on holiness or righteousness. It's only, how do we get a seat at the table? That's it.
So here is my conclusion to that. I think that means that Democrats are more dedicated in their hatred of God than Christians are in their obedience to him.
Wow.
That's just the reality of where we're at.
Yeah.
It's sad seeing so many Christians fall into this every 4 years. So I wrote one day that I'm more concerned about who Christians have become than what this country has become.
Wow.
Christians have really reached a low that is very extremely shocking.
Yeah. Yeah. Today, they'd be the Herodians of 2000 years ago. That's who they would be. They'd choose Herod over Caesar. They'd be the Herodians.
Right.
Who's a murderer.
So it's interesting because one of the arguments that you hear is that you need to stop looking for a perfect candidate. Jesus is not on the ballot. There's no such thing as a perfect candidate. Well, here's the funny thing. Come election time, people seem to lose the ability to make rational statements and rational arguments. Mm. So here's another mock conversation. Will, you're looking for a perfect candidate, and no one is perfect except Jesus. So my response is, well, I'm not voting for Romney because of his intense pro-abortion and pro-homosexual record, for starters. So their reply to me is, well, no one is perfect, so get over it.
Right.
So my response to them is, well, I'm not going to vote for Obama because of his pro-abortion and pro-homosexual record. Does that mean I'm looking for a perfect candidate because I won't vote for Obama?
And then there's silence.
Oh, dead silence. They don't know what to say. They would never say that to me if I'm saying, oh, here's the problems I have with Obama. They would never say, stop looking for a perfect candidate.
Right. The Lutherans in Germany would say, well, you know, Hitler's not perfect. Who is?
Right. So this is an interesting one. I made a pretty bold statement. Christians would vote for Obama with an R if he was running against Obama with a D.
Of course.
And that is so true. And here's the funny thing. Someone who I had never interacted with before online commented and said,
so would Mike Rosen. Mike Rosen would vote for Obama with an R. He said it as recently as today.
Yeah, he's a single issue voter.
It's just, if he's a Republican, that's it.
Right.
That means Mike Rosen has no core principles.
Right. So someone replied and said, I would never do that. That's dumb, they said. And I said, oh, I said, this is great. I'm really glad you responded. Let's test if I'm right.
Mm.
So I shared the record of Mitt Romney and how all the problems he had with Obama, Romney has the problems. And I said, okay, so where are you at? And he's still going to vote for Romney.
Right.
So there it is. There's the truth.
Right.
Right there.
Right. Because people need to remember that Romney is the architect of Obamacare. Romney gave us Obamacare. Romney did.
Right.
And it's funded with federal tax dollars. So he's not being honest when he says, well, it's a state program. We're all paying for the child-killing abortion under Romney Care. We all pay for it.
So this next one is a question to people, and it's really very difficult. People do not want to answer this question, and it is this. How many children does a politician have to be willing to kill before you will no longer vote for him? And I pause, let him think about that. Or do you have no such threshold and will vote for anyone, no matter how evil, just as their opponent is willing to kill just one more child than they are.
Wow.
It has to be one or the other. You either have a threshold or you don't.
Mm.
So I don't know about you. My threshold is one.
Mm. If a politician says they're willing to kill a single innocent child, then I oppose him.
Absolutely.
But they can't give a number, right? Because Romney supports killing millions by his own policies.
Exactly.
By his own policies.
Right.
His own approval, millions. And they give Romney this false sense of security that God is going to be pleased with him because he's pro-life.
Right.
Imagine that on Judgment Day when God's wrath is poured out against Mitt Romney and Billy Graham made Romney think that God would approve of him.
Wow.
Imagine that. Graham did the same thing with Bill Clinton, by the way, and Hillary.
That's right.
Totally willing to support them because he has a lust for power. He likes being a kingmaker. So if he's a kingmaker for the Clintons or Romney, he doesn't care as long as he could be a kingmaker.
So many people I found were so utterly unfamiliar with Romney's record. They didn't know at all. And they're, of course, the Romney cheerleaders.
And they don't want to know.
So here's what I said. I said, if people had to at least know something about Romney's record before they would be allowed to vote for him, he would lose in a landslide. Now, I'm not saying that once they become aware of Romney's record that he would lose because they're still going to vote for him, sadly.
Right.
What I meant was if, you know, they had to pass some sort of test about Romney's record before they could vote for him,
right,
he would be in big trouble because no one would have a clue.
Right.
His followers would not have a clue.
Right. What has he actually done? Has he been a socialist? Has he enacted socialist, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, radical pro-homosexual agenda items? And it turned out, yep, he has.
He had no problem enacting them. Obama's tried and hasn't really accomplished it. So.
Right, right. So, Will, we're out of time, but we're not done.
No, we got to do more.
Maybe could you do more tomorrow?
Let's do it tomorrow.
You sure?
Oh, yeah.
All right, good. What an honor to have Will Duffy in studio. And we're going through responses. This is a political calculation that we're doing on this show. Could we answer the Romney bots?
You are invited to join us this Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church to worship God and study His Word. At 9:30, Pastor Bob Enyart's verse-by-verse Bible study will help you to gain new understanding of God's Word. The Bible study is followed by a time of fellowship at 10:30, then join our worship team in praise and worship of our Creator God at 10:50, followed by Pastor Enyart's sermon. Denver Bible Church meets at Two Roads School at the corner of Oak and 72nd Streets in Arvada. Join us this Sunday at Denver Bible Church, and bring your Bible.